What's going on, everybody? Welcome to an all-new edition of Phillies Today. The sky is not falling. The sun rose this morning. And all I know is the Phils are still the best team in Major League Baseball. Not the best week out west, for sure. The Phils go 2-4 on their road trip to the West Coast in two places that they really tend to struggle and struggle big time historically, in Coors Field and Oracle Park. Want to get into some thoughts from the road trip, where the lineup is at right now, and them going through their first kind of cold streak of the year. You know, meanwhile, the starting staff and the bullpen have been the constant. Another great week from them, aside from Taiwan Walker, who we'll talk about for sure. Plus, as always, we will preview and break down this weekend's series with the St. Louis Cardinals coming to CBP for 3 games. Phil's finally coming back home. So, yeah, excited to get into it, and let's just jump right in. So, Phil's drop 2 of 3 in both Colorado and San Francisco this past week, two places that have really just been a house of horrors for this team over the past decade or so. Phils are 11-20 versus the Rockies on the road since 2015, and that's against some, you know, pretty mediocre to bad teams out there. And at Oracle Park, it is much worse. They are a lovely 6-23 in their last 10 years there. So, you know, kind of annoying they had to play those two series back-to-back, but it is what it is, and there's no doubt that, you know, this lineup really struggled for the first time this year, especially, you know, since the early going. And part of the issue, it felt like, was just maybe guys trying to do too much with runners in scoring position. They were 13-47 the past 6 games. Even in the game that they won on Wednesday in San Francisco, they put up 6 runs. But I'm thinking during the game, like, it feels like they should have 10 runs right now. It felt like they should have scored even more than they did. And these are things that happen throughout the course of a season. You know, we always talk about ebbs and flows, but the first individual I have to, you know, bring up here is Bryce Harper, because they had that game on Wednesday and it was just a really weird day for Bryce. In the first inning, he takes a hack, looks uncomfortable, you know, before proceeding to strike out. Then he's getting frustrated. He's throwing the bat in the dugout and he's just visibly upset. And then is laboring at first after that throw from Sanchez gets by him. And that was all just in the first inning. Then he gets into it with Kyle Harrison, who, you know, woke up the Phillies offense, apparently, after he went up and in on Bryce a couple times, which, by the way, definitely not intentional. He was just, you know, really struggling with location, and he's typically a guy who's, you know, they call effectively wild. So that was interesting. And then, by the way, what is Pat Burrell doing, being the only one who starts shoving people in that, you know, fake bench-clearing brawl? That I shouldn't even say the word brawl, but just that bench clearing that happened. You know, come on, Pat. You're way more a Phil than you are a Giant. But yeah, that happened too. And then I'm not making a ton of it like some other people are, but he doesn't run to first base on the ground out after that. And look, he had a nice RBI knock later in the game, and I'm not exactly sure what was going on with him. I feel like deep down it's something with his back that's still bothering him. He's had these back issues kind of since he's been a Phil, and it just feels like it's something that's been nagging over the years, and it's never going to be a thing that he talks about publicly, probably, and he's going to just play through it. But I get the sense that it is something maybe injury-related, and he's just nicked up. And I'm not totally sure, and again, he hasn't talked about it himself, but he's so competitive. I was just surprised that he kind of looked like deliberately was dogging it out there, and you just don't see that from him too often. So I'm not going to make too big of a deal about it for now. It's early in the season. It's a regular season game in May that they won anyway. And he's had these incidents before, but he typically corrects it pretty quickly. He's still having an incredible season right now. He's currently 4th in NL MVP odds and is on pace to hit 40 home runs. So Bryce is Bryce. He's going to be fine. I'm not really worried about it, but it was interesting to see because his body language was almost, you know, I talk about Joel Embiid sometimes is having bad body language. It almost felt like his body language was sort of Embiid-like out there the other day. But we'll see how he looks on this homestand. I'm sure he will be right back in that lineup on Friday. So he has a chance to, you know, recover and, you know, hustle out a few balls. So anyway, one of the good things about the San Fran series was that we saw Schwarber get his power stroke back a little bit. Hit 2 home runs, including a leadoff bomb on Wednesday, which this team really needed. It almost felt like that homer was similar to the Game 5 home run in the 2022 World Series, obviously much smaller and less significant scale. But it just felt like they needed a spark at the beginning after that horrific baseball game you had to watch on Tuesday night. I don't know what was worse, getting no hit in that World Series game or Spencer freaking Howard coming in and throwing four shutout innings on Tuesday. That just made me absolutely sick. Just horrible. That game might have been one of the least enjoyable baseball games I've ever watched. It was a 9:45 start, too. Just, you're up late at night, and you're thinking, you know, this team, they could have played 20 innings that night, and I'm convinced that they would not have scored a run. It was just, that offense was putrid. But anyway, back to Schwarber. Can you believe he's hit over 300 in the month of May? He's hit 307 this month, right, as of right now, which is a delight for that quote-unquote not a leadoff hitter crowd. And his OBP for the month is 437, which is just really good stuff from Schwarber. And you also know what month it's about to be. Fully expect the power to keep climbing, but the guy is simply a winning baseball player. He's been so good for this team over the past, you know, few years since he signed that contract. And I'm glad he was able to kind of power through that homerless drought before June got started. So great series from Schwarber. Feel really good about him. Nick Castellanos. It's so funny because he might be the player that I have the least amount of a pulse on out of anyone on this team, or maybe even all of Philadelphia sports for that matter. Every time I feel like I come on here each week and say that I think he might be turning a corner or he's not playing well, he just falls back into those same awful at-bats and bad habits. But right when I was ready to come on here this week and talk about just how much this guy's killing him, how much of a liability he's been, you know, just all around. I mean, his WAR is one of the worst in baseball right now. He comes back and has maybe his best game of the season on Wednesday and is a triple shy of the cycle. He hit the ball really hard all four times, and I loved what he had to say post-game with T-Mac and Ruben when they're talking to him on the field, and they ask him, like, what do you learn when you go through these struggles? Like, you've been a Major League Baseball player for so long now, and you've had these struggles before. Like, what do you lean on when you go through these? And he said, like, it helps mentally when you have such a talented and close team, and you have guys you can kind of lean on at all times, and guys who are talented enough to be able to pick you up. So I just think that kind of speaks to how tight-knit this clubhouse is. And if you know if Casty's saying stuff, it's not BS, because he certainly does not beat around the bush when it comes to answering questions. So it was a good day from Casty. Let's see if he can finally build on it. You know, with them coming home this weekend, I'm not convinced that that's going to happen. But again, you just hope that he can have any sort of production better than what you've gotten the first 2 months. Because putting yesterday aside, it's been tough because the Phillies are not getting a lot of production from their outfield either. Between him, between the center field spot, between Marsh and left, who has kind of come back down to earth after his really good first month, they're not getting a ton of production out of those outfielders. And it helps when you have an infield that, you know, has the top hitting first baseman, top hitting second baseman. When Trey's in there, top hitting shortstop. Boehm has been incredible. JT's been incredible. It helps to have that, but at the same time, you need some sort of production from those three guys in the outfield. So we will see if that gets going. But mention Alec Boehm. Going through his first real struggles of the year, kind of all came to a tipping point when he had a couple of errors at third on Monday. Then Rob decides to sit him Tuesday night, where he pinch hits in a big spot in the 10th and maybe had one of the worst at-bats you'll ever see. Was not able to advance a runner, and then the Phillies end up losing in the 10th inning. And side note, by the way, Phillies haven't scored the ghost runner in their last three extra inning games, which is pretty weird for a team that, you know, has been pretty good with runners in scoring position this year. Definitely uncharacteristic of them, but yeah. Boehm going through his first rough patch. In his last seven games, hitting just 154 with one RBI. He's still second in the National League in RBI, though, to Ozuna, but he's had some tough batted ball luck as well. So I think he'll be fine. Just part of the ebbs and flows here. You just hope that he's playing with such good confidence, even in the field as well. He had those couple errors in the game in San Francisco. You just hope that that confidence isn't deterred at all. And I don't think it will be, because I think the guys in the clubhouse and Rob Thompson as well, Bobby Dickerson too, especially infield-wise, give him the confidence that he needs. But he was just playing so well, and you hope that he can kind of stay at that level. Because as of right now, even with the slump he's been in, he's your starting third baseman at the All-Star game. Like, Riley's been out a bunch. Machado has been kind of up and down. And in terms of National League third baseman, he's certainly been the best. So, again, think he'll be fine. And you just hope that he comes back on this homestand and has, you know, a nice little series against the Cardinals. So, before I go any further, want to talk about this pitching rotation. Because if anything has been a main constant through all of the winning this season and being 21 games over, being in first place, it has been the dominance of the starting pitching. Wheeler and the loss on Wednesday was awesome again. battled through six scoreless, struck out nine. What was really impressive was just how often and how much he was in the strike zone. 70 of his 101 pitches were thrown for strikes. If you take out that start in Miami where he got knocked around and had to leave the game pretty early, I think he'd be pretty firmly the Cy Young leader with Ranger, especially considering Imanaga got rocked in Milwaukee the other night. Now Ranger Suarez has the best ERA in the National League, and you know Wheeler's not too far behind him. So really good stuff from Wheeler. Also, really good stuff from Sanchez on Wednesday. I tweeted it out. Opponents' batting average against the changeup this year is down to 188, which is insane. But the reason that pitch has been or has become so devastating, and I think one of the better off-speed pitches of baseball, is that his sinker is up to 97 miles an hour, and he's throwing it in the zone and effectively, you know, hitting the corners with it. And when he plays the changeup and also the slider off of that sinker, and he's able to locate and command everything, you know, hitters are swinging on top, over top of everything. It's getting swing and misses. It's getting weak contact. And the big thing with Sanchez has always been if he can throw strikes consistently and, you know, avoid walking guys. And he has. He's now 91st percentile on chase percentage. And to me, it is because of how much better that sinker has become and to where you can play that off-speed stuff off it, because we know that changeup and slider are just really high-level pitches. And also, he's given up, believe it or not, I didn't even believe this. I had to check this twice when I saw it. He's given up one home run this year. Saw an interesting stat from Matt Winkleman on Twitter, and he said that Sanchez is, you know, yet to allow a ball in play this year hit harder than 100 miles an hour and at a launch angle greater than 25 degrees. So that's really good stuff. And this team is four legitimate dominant starters right now in Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, and Sanchez. Now, on the other hand, have to talk a little bit about Taijuan Walker here, because it's just not great. It wasn't good on Monday. Frankly, not sure why Rob kept him in as long as he did. That was a competitive game once the Phillies took the lead. It was 4-3. You had a bullpen that was well-rested, but they decided to throw him out there for six, and they paid the price for it. And maybe it was just, you know, hey, you're going to be part of this rotation. I want you to go prove it. I want you to go out there and throw six innings and eat innings for us, and let's see what you can do. But, man, he's just not good. And I've tried to give him the benefit of the doubt at times this year. But when they signed him before last season, a lot of it was based off of the split being his best pitch. And that's a pitch that became really good during his time with the Mets. It was pretty good last year as well. Opponents hit 205 on it last year. And when he was with the Mets, it might have been even lower. So far this year, opposing hitters are batting 515 and slugging 758 on that pitch, which is utter insanity. And you can't ask him to stop throwing it either, considering he uses it 18% of the time now, which is too low anyway, considering he threw it 33% of the time last year. So I don't know what's going on with that. Like, the velo is a problem at the beginning of the year, but now it's kind of his, you know, his off-speed stuff has just not been good. So not great. We'll see if maybe they try to, if they swap him and Turnbull at some point. Turnbull, it's been weird because I feel like he was brought in to be a long man out of the bullpen, but now he kind of comes in just for mop-up duty sometimes, and it's kind of put him in a weird rhythm, I feel like. Not that it's not fair, but he's been put in some tough spots, I think Turnbull has, and we'll see if they decide to change it at some point, because I'll tell you what, he is just, he's been kind of exactly what we thought. It's just a lot of inconsistency, balls getting left up in the zone, a lot of stuff down the middle of the plate, and you know he's paying the price for it. Hitters are, you know, really hitting the ball hard off him. So that's where I'm at with Walker. We'll see him again this weekend, and we'll see if he can, you know, maybe try to have a good start so he can build off something here. But on that note, I want to move to the bullpen before I wrap things up and get into the preview of this weekend series here. But really impressed with what I'm seeing from this group. Was a really good road trip for the bullpen, aside from Alvarado's blown save in Colorado. Only thing that concerns me with Alvarado is that he had some trouble finding the zone in the couple times he came in during this road trip. Similar to the way he was kind of wild when he got here and when he was in Tampa. But against the Giants in that horrible game on Tuesday night, he was able to work out of it, bear down, threw up a zero. And I feel still pretty confident that he's going to be able to come in the ninth inning and get three outs when you need it, especially against, you know, lefty hitters. And he gives up the home run to Jacob Stallings. Has there ever been a more random, weird dude than Jacob Stallings? Like, that's just not good. That just kills the Phillies, man. Like, I feel like every time he plays the Phillies, he hits like one back-breaking home run or double. And I was shocked, or I was surprised that Alvarado gave up the home run there, but I was not shocked that it was Jacob Stallings of all people. So that was really annoying. But I want to move on Sir Anthony Dominguez. Is he back? Can we say that? Like, he's been really good since that blow-up outing in Anaheim at the end of April. And since that appearance, he's given up just one earned run in 9 appearances and is really avoiding hard contact. He's 93rd percentile in hard hit percentage right now. Now, if they can get a guy who looks anything close to 2022 Sir Anthony, then I'd argue that they might not need a bullpen arm at the deadline. I feel very comfortable with him and just the right-handed options in general out of the pen right now between him, Hoffman, and Kirkering, who's been really good as well. Kirkering is a 2.13 ERA in 12 appearances in the month of May, finally utilizing that fastball enough to where hitters are at least, you know, kind of kept off balance. His four-seam usage is up by almost 20% this year compared to last, and it still doesn't have a ton of movement on it, and he's throwing that sinker very sparingly, I think like 9%. But the sweeper is just such an elite pitch, and all you have to really do is locate the fastball, and you're going to get weak contact. He's 99th percentile on hard hit percentage, 97th percentile on exit velo, 95th percentile on barrel percentage. So because of all these numbers, the fact that the strikeout rate isn't as high, it doesn't really concern me. And I feel pretty confident in him right now as opposed to the beginning of the season, just in terms of getting guys out. And when he came up, I thought he was going to be more of a strikeout guy, but totally fine if he, you know, gets the weak contact. And he's been really good over this past month and has become a legitimate option for Rob Thompson to use in high leverage. So, yeah, great stuff on Kirkering. Feel very good about these right-handed guys. And you also have Junior Marte coming back soon. He started his rehab stint down in Lehigh Valley as well, and he was good before he went down there. So feel good about the right-handed options in this bullpen. Left-handers, Matt Strom. Make him an all-star. I know he gave up the ghost runner the other night, and that's technically not an earned run, so his streak of no earned runs allowed since March 30th is still intact. ERA down to 0.81, which is just insane, and 22 and a third innings pitch, just 3 walks as well. So he's consistently in the zone, and you feel good every time he comes into a tight ball game right now. And it's just, you kind of feel good about everyone. Even Jose Ruiz, who's supposed to be your mop-up guy, has been really good for this team at times. And they're just getting contributions from everybody top to bottom in this bullpen. And it's funny, again, I'll mention Turnbull. He's probably been the least reliable option out of all of them, but he's just been put in such a weird spot that I kind of give him some slack or benefit of the doubt, just based on how weird his usage has been and the different type of outings he's gone out there and thrown. So I feel really good about this bullpen, and who knows, they might not have, at the trade deadline, they might not have to get a right-hander if Sir Anthony can get back to the way he was and how the way he's throwing right now. It feels like maybe the outfield bat. I mentioned the outfield lack of production there earlier. Maybe an outfield bat at the deadline could be the top priority, but at the end of the day, this team's in a really good spot right now. And we know Ronald Acuna went down last weekend, which, by the way, it's a shame for baseball and it's a shame for the rivalry, because I just think he's such a fun part of this rivalry. And he's obviously a great player, the reigning National League MVP. But he's done for the year. And now the Braves are without him. They're without Strider. The Phillies have as good of a chance to win the division as they have had since 2011. And the simple matter of the fact is they can go out there and take it, and there's nothing stopping them, because I truly think without those two guys, top to bottom, they are a better team than the Braves if you look at a talent perspective. So that is where the Phillies are at kind of division-wise. 21 games over 500 here. Bullpen's done their part. The rotation's done their part. I know the lineup's gone cold, but I expect them to get better here. So let's take a look at these matchups this weekend as the Phils are back home to play the Cardinals. They're coming off a series win against Cincinnati. The Cardinals are they're right at 500. So, and before we get into it, by the way, the Phils are now 11-5 against teams over 500. So with a bunch of teams doing some different stuff that the Phils have already played. So just putting that out there. But the matchups for this weekend tonight, you've got Aaron Nola at 640, making the 12th start of his 12th start of the year, going up against Miles Michaelis, who has a career 4.26 ERA against the Phillies. Nola, has actually been better on the road so far this year. Has a 4-2-1 at CBP and a 1.82 ERA on the road. So hopefully he can kind of get back to the mean here and even those numbers out a little bit and throw well tonight. Facing a lot of right-handed hitters in that lineup with Arenado, Goldschmidt, Mason Wynn also having a nice year there, young shortstop. So then on Saturday, you've got the National League ERA leader, Ranger Suarez, taking the mound against first-year Cardinal Sonny Gray. Ranger looking for his 10th win of the year. But I'll tell you what, Sonny Gray putting up solid numbers again this year after signing with the Cardinals in the offseason so far. 7-2 with a 2.6 ERA and a whip right at 1. He's got a good numbers against the Phils, too, for his career. ERA is under 3. So that'll be a good one to watch with him and Ranger battling it out there. Games on national TV, I believe, as well. Fox has that game. That'll get started at 7:15. So then another national game to wrap things up on Sunday as Taijuan Walker makes his second Sunday Night Baseball start of the year against Lance Lynn, who has been better than I realized this season. Lynn has given up just one combined run his last two starts, going 6 innings in both of those games, one of which was against a stacked Baltimore Orioles lineup. So he's steady, you could say. I still think that the Phils can get to him for sure, especially with the left-handers the Phillies have in that lineup. So just take 2 of 3, please. Would love a sweep, but just take 2 of 3. This Cardinals team is just not as good. And you really would like to get back on track here, especially at home where the ballpark is going to be packed every night. These games are pretty much sold out, all of them. And I'm looking online, looking for tickets, and prices are going up, justifiably so, when you got the best team in baseball. So all good on that end. But hey, making me spend a little more money. I'll take it, though. One thing before I get out of here that I wanted to make sure to mention is that so I've been doing Phillies games on the Phillies Radio Network this year, producing for Scott in LA and Stalker and Murph, and they've been really great to work with, have been nothing but great to me since I have started this year, and it's been a lot of fun to do that with them. And Scott Fransky wanted to publicly wish my condolences to him and his family after the loss of his father, Bob. Was not on the broadcast the other day, and then T-Mac and Ruben gave a nice tribute to him. Murph did on the radio as well. And Scott has been nothing but a great guy to work with, and I look forward to working with him hopefully for more years to come. And, it's a shame because Scott is such a great guy, and, everything I've heard about his father is that he just loved the game of baseball. He loved listening to Scott do the Phillies games, and I just wanted to make sure that I was able to wish my condolences to the Fransky family there. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening, and let's see if the Phillies can get back on track here this weekend. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. See ya.